I have been a Christian for 41 years now of my 61 years on this planet, and I've learned some things, like any of us. You know, you learn some things over the years, and that's what I want to really talk about this morning. The title of the message this morning is Keeping Your Edge, because I know, like I'm sure many of you know, the ups and downs of the Christian life. You know, there's times where you feel like you're on the edge, you know, you're going after God, you're living the life that God wants you to, you know, never perfectly, obviously, but, you know, you feel like you're making progress. And there's other times where you just kind of feel like you're in a place of spiritual doldrums sometimes. And there are some things that I think God has for us from His Word, and just things that help us, you understand what I'm saying by this title, keeping our edge, you know, staying on the cutting edge of what God has for us. There's a word that some of you may be familiar with, and the word is entropy. How many know what that word means? All right, a few of you know. It means, by definition, it means the gradual decline into disorder. I was reading something this week. It says entropy is kind of like Murphy's Law applied to the universe. You know what I'm saying? If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And but mind you, I am no scientist by any stretch of the imagination, but I was doing some reading, and there's some of you at least maybe can't explain it, and I can't fully explain it, but there's something called the second law of thermodynamics, right? And that says this. That's the definition or the explanation of that is... What happened, Matt? Stopped working there. There we go. It's entropy. In all energy exchanges, if no energy enters or leaves the system, the potential energy of the state will always be less than that of the initial state. This is also commonly referred to as entropy. Lori has a clock on the mantle, and it has to be wound up every week. You know, old clocks, and it is an antique sort of clock. And we don't live in a universe where clocks wind up. You know what I'm saying? We live in a universe where clocks wind down. And that's just the nature of life. That's the nature of the world that we live in. If no energy is infused into the system, things will go in the direction of disorder and decline. There has to be an input of energy for things to continue to move forward and continue to, well, I'll just say it, to not go into decline. I was reading on a website called Real Clear Science, and I read this just a sentence or two. It says, put simply, entropy is a measure of disorder, and the second law of thermodynamics states that all closed systems tend to maximize entropy. This idea of going to disorder. Reversing this ever-increasing tendency toward disorder requires the input of energy. That's why housekeeping is so tiresome. Left on its own, your house would get dirty, spiders would move in, and eventually it would fall apart. Notice that sentence. Reversing this ever-increasing tendency toward disorder requires the input of energy. Left on its own, energy dissipates. That's what that second law of thermodynamics says. If it's a closed system and there's no energy being infused into it, it'll eventually just wind down. Everything in life requires the input of energy to maintain the optimum level of functionality or whatever, you know, however you want to say that. It requires energy to keep your body in shape. It requires energy to stay sharp and up to date in your career field. It requires energy to maintain healthy relationships. It requires energy to keep anything in your life in good, quote-unquote, good working order. Why would it be any different in our spiritual life? It requires some energy. It requires some effort. It requires some maintenance. If we want to keep our edge spiritually, we've got to put something into it. In order to keep our edge, to keep ourselves spiritually healthy, there needs to be the input of energy, or otherwise entropy begins to set in. Yes, I know. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Right? You cannot save yourself by your energy. But don't confuse that and think that there's no work involved to keep yourself spiritually fit and to keep yourself spiritually healthy. There must be a continual input of energy to keep your edge. Neglect is one of the biggest enemies of spiritual life and growth. Right? Just, we're not even talking about being immersed in some horrible sin to fall away from God. All you need to do to fall away from God is nothing. Right? That's what happens. The process of entropy kicks in, quote unquote, you know, using that term, and slowly over time, the fire goes out in your heart. The sin enters later. You know, when the fire has gone out and you've lost your edge and you're kind of in those doldrums and you're just kind of existing and just going along, then you're in even greater danger for the quote-unquote big sin to enter in. There's a process when if we suffer neglect, it goes like this. It starts with tolerance. You start to put up with something that you kind of carelessly let something into your life, and then tolerance turns to indifference. Indifference turns to passive acceptance, and passive acceptance leads to active participation. The clock winds down in our lives, and all of a sudden, you know, sometimes people say, you know, I used to be all concerned about this or that, or, you know, I stayed away from this when I, you know, but now I'm mature in the Lord. Well, maybe sometimes that's the case, but sometimes, you know what, you've just let the fire go out, and you've just lost your edge, and you're just letting things come into your life that you never would have dreamed of doing or allowing in your life. And it's this process of tolerance, indifference, passive acceptance, and active participation. You see this played out in the lives of the people of Israel in the Old Testament, especially as it pertains to idolatry. They would begin to tolerate something, and then there was an indifference toward it, and then there was a passive acceptance and a willingness to coexist with something in their midst that God never wanted them to coexist with. Just a passive acceptance, and it wasn't long till they were doing it. They were participating in the very thing that was abhorrent to God. So I want to just spend a few moments this morning and talk about how we combat this process of entropy. It doesn't have to happen. That's the cool thing. It doesn't have to happen. It's not inevitable. But the key point here, and you know, probably, you know, I'm going to give you a couple of examples, but just you've got to remember this is the key point. It always requires effort. It always requires energy. It requires maintenance. We've got to put something our spiritual life. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith and not of works, but we've got to put something into our life if we're going to grow, if we're going to stay on the edge. So I have like three different things I want to talk about for a few moments this morning. And this might seem like an odd one, this first one I put up here, but you'll see where I'm going with it. And the term here is, of course, a very simple term, relationships. It's a very, very important thing. One of the enemies, write this down, I don't have it on the screen. One of the enemies of spiritual health and spiritual fitness and keeping your edge is isolation. Isolation. The Bible says a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. Don't ever forget that. It's Proverbs 18:1. You know, we have a lot of spiritual ways that we express it, you know, that, you know, why we don't pursue and maintain relationships. More often than not, somewhere down there under the surface, there is this fear that someone else is going to call us to account. Someone else is going to challenge us about something, and we don't want that. So we have all these fancy explanations for why we separate ourselves. It's just me and Jesus kind of thing, right? And I don't need other people and all that nonsense. You do need other people. I need other people. Most of the time, we have impressive sounding, even sometimes spiritual sounding excuses. But if we choose the path of isolation, somewhere down in the core of that, there is a decision in our lives that we want to pursue our own desire. We want to do our own thing. We don't want to give others access into our lives for fear that they might call us on it. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. You want to keep your edge. You want to stay spiritually fit. You need to have other people in your life. If you choose the path of isolation, you can be sure that I guarantee you, you will lose your edge spiritually. No matter who you are, no matter how brutally honest you think you might be and the ability for you to see clearly what's going on in your life, every single one of us have blind spots in our life. There are things that we cannot see. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 27, it says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We need other people in our life to have the freedom to say those things that hurt. When they see something in us that is potentially harmful to our spiritual growth and our relationship with God. But too often, we want to pursue our own course, and we don't want to have to give an account of ourselves to others. God created us as people designed to be in relationship, designed to be in community. It is so important. And those relationships act as a mirror, right? They act as a mirror. They help us to see things in ourselves that we would not otherwise be able to see. And it's not even that, you know, I talk about calling us to accountability or pointing something out or speaking into our lives or whatever. It doesn't even have to be that. It's just when you're around other people, you see things. They kind of act as a mirror. Other brothers and sisters in Christ kind of act as a mirror. We do that for each other. And it just helps us to see things that are in our lives. You know, you see how somebody else is living their life, and you begin to say, wow, you know, there's some things that I need to do or some changes that I need to make. But when you're by yourself, we have this amazing ability to convince ourselves that we're okay. You know what I'm saying? The whole world needs to change. Everybody else needs to change, but I'm okay. That's what we tend to do. The Bible says this. Familiar verse, also in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. We need other people to stay sharp. We need other people to help us keep our edge. How does something get sharpened? How do you get an edge? How do you get a sharp edge on an axe blade or on a lawnmower blade or on a knife or whatever? It takes friction, right? Sparks fly. That's how, you know, we all want a good edge, right? What's the most dangerous knife, right? A dull one. How do I know that? I'll tell you that story sometime. Cutting up a deer, because we do our own deer, and I put my knife right through my Carhartt, right into my arm a number of years ago. I came in the house, and Lori said, your face was as white as, you know, I just like, whew, man, that was a bad one. That was a bad one. I have a, you know, my dad was a meat cutter, you know, when I was growing up, and it seemed like, I don't know how frequently it was, but I would say your dad's at the hospital getting stitches. You know, it happens when you're using a knife, but it's the dull knife, and that's what happened to me, and man, right through my Carhartt jacket into my arm, and all the fat or whatever was hanging on. It was pretty bad. And Lori's like, you need to go get stitches. No, it'll be all right. Just keep my arm above my heart right for 2 days or however long. But an edge, a good edge, requires friction. As iron sharpens iron. Paul said this. He said, when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. When you're all alone, you're the only one you have to compare with, you know? And you say, I think I'm doing okay. I think my life is going okay. You're not in relationship with others, and you're using your own life as the only measurement. That just doesn't work. Because we're pretty good at convincing ourselves that we're okay, and we don't see the blind spots in our lives. If you want to keep your edge, spiritually and want to stay going in the direction God wants you to go, you need other people to help you in that regard, to help you see the things that are hindering your growth in the Lord. So we'll leave that one alone and move on to the next one. If you want to keep your edge, you got to stretch yourself. You got to go places you haven't gone before in the Spirit, and you've got to push yourself sometimes in order to keep your edge and to continue to grow in the Lord. You got to stretch yourself beyond what you're comfortable with. Right, Carol? Right. Amen. She's doing that. I love it. I was sitting there thinking of that. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all mercies and of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our time of trouble," and so forth. So, yeah, and there's a lot more, but that's not where I'm going. I'm using this phrase. That's when I hear the phrase, the God of comfort, that's what I think of. Oh, you know, God, he's wonderful. You know, he's just comforting us in our time of trouble. And that is so true. But the God of comfort, I said that verse and explained where I normally would go if I said that phrase and what you would think of. But this is, I'm going in a whole different direction. We have made a God out of our comfort. You see what I'm saying? You know, I just want you to understand the way that I'm using that word. He's the God of all comfort, yes. He comforts us in all of our difficulties, but sometimes, again, putting a different spin on this, we have made a God out of comfort. Personal comfort has become the thing that we aspire to. We have made a God out of that. What do people say? Oh, gosh, this whole lottery thing, right, that's going on right now. $1.6 billion or whatever it is now. And Tim Archer, this is totally off the... Somebody that Patty works with, I guess he was telling me this morning about, and it sent around, it was just, I guess, you know, to coworkers or whatever, you know, an email, you know, a company in the, where are you? Are you at the Ark? Okay. He said, if I ever win that lottery, I'm going to help that church up on East Avenue finish that building. I see them out there working, so all of a sudden I had a different, no. They see us. They see us. People in the community see us. You know, doesn't know us from anybody, but just said, you know, I'm going to do this and this and that. I'm going to help that church up out East Avenue finish that building. And that was kind of cool. But anyway, people say, I don't want to be rich. I just want to be comfortable. Right? We love to be comfortable. You're going to have to decide. If you want to grow, if you want to keep your edge, you have to commit yourself to grow and to stretch, and keep your spiritual edge, or you're going to make personal comfort your aim and your goal. You're either going to be over here on this side and you're going to be going after God and doing the things that he's called you to do and stretching yourself and being in situations sometimes that you're not comfortable with. You're going to go all the way over here on this extreme and just say, I just want to be comfortable. I don't want stress in my life. I don't want problems. I don't want things that make me feel uncomfortable. You got to decide. Because you can't have both. If you're going to grow, if you're going to stay on top of things spiritually, if you're going to maintain spiritual health, there are times and things in your life where it's going to require you to be uncomfortable. You've got to come to terms with that. Personal comfort cannot be our top priority. I don't like being uncomfortable. Nobody likes it. But growth by its very nature requires us to go places where we've never been before, and to do things we've never done before. Tom Zarowski had a friend that used to say, you know, always do the things that you're afraid of. And it all sounds like a great quote until you're in a place where you're doing something that you're afraid of, you know. Whether it's standing in front of people and talking, or, you know, doing a Bible study, or, you know, anything. You know, just taking some position of leadership or responsibility, and you're uncomfortable with that. It requires us to stretch and to embrace those butterflies, you know, that you get in your stomach sometimes when you're doing things. Every athlete knows, you know. I know it's, you know, talking about athletics, Tim talks about it, I talk about some. It's kind of like the agriculture of our day, you know. But when Jesus gave parables, all of his parables, not all, but many of them were around agriculture because that's what people understood. Well, kind of, you know, our parables of today, you know, maybe not as many people are as up on agriculture, but people seem to understand sports and athletics, even if you're not actively participating in yourself. But every athlete knows that if you're going to get better, it's going to require you to push your body, to push your mind to a place where you haven't been before. So there's a phrase I want you to take to heart, and I want you to write it down if you take notes, and it's going to sound like a, what's the term, an oxymoron, but I want you to think about this. You're going to have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. I know it doesn't make sense in a way, right? But you're going to have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. If you want to get better, you know, using the athlete thing, you want to get better at a sport, you've got to embrace the fact that you're going to have to push yourself to a place of being uncomfortable. And yes, and dare we use the word pain, right? We are so overly medicated sometimes as a society because we don't want any pain. We don't, you know, get a little headache and we're running to the medicine cabinet or whatever. You know, got, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Even, you know, in my limited experience and the relatively minimal things I've done in that regard, you know, whether it's getting ready to run a marathon or even this triathlon I did over the summer, you know, you get used to the fact, you have to make friends with the fact that you're going to be uncomfortable. There are going to be things that are going to hurt you. You're going to have your aches and pains. There's going to be, you know, again, some pain or such that goes along with that. That's just part of the equation. Accepting it doesn't necessarily make it easier, but you kind of come to terms with it, and you know that it's serving a bigger purpose in your life, and so you can embrace it. You know, if I want to be a better leader, I've got to go places where I haven't gone. I've got to push myself. I've got to allow myself to be in situations that I'm not comfortable with, situations that stretch me, that stretch you, that require more of you. Don't always like it, but it's the price tag that's attached to growth. And it's the price tag that's attached to keeping your spiritual edge. Are you going to make a god out of your own personal comfort? Or are you going to be willing to stretch yourself and let God? See, those are the places where you meet God. Those are the places where God shows himself strong, where God shows himself faithful in your life. Because you've gone beyond where you felt comfortable and where you felt like you were strong in this area or that area, and you've gone to another area, and that's where God meets you. And it's a cool thing. One last thing. Just talk about the importance of keeping goals, keeping vision out in front of you. The old saying goes like this, and probably many of you have heard it. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Part of stretching that brings growth and helps us keep our edge is the stretching that comes from pressing forward toward new things. And Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." When you stop having vision, when you stop dreaming, you start dying a slow death. And you're world becomes very small. I'm just a firm believer that you've got to keep things out in front of you that you're reaching for all the time. You know, again, you know, I'll talk about the jail because I have a lot of, you know, time. It doesn't sound right. But I'm there a lot. And a lot of times I'll ask guys, you know, what their goals are and where they want to be, like in 5 years, you know, just because, you know, I get the sense just talking to folks, and it's not just people in the jail, but I see that there a lot, you know, that one of the reasons why they're there is they weren't thinking about it. They weren't thinking about where they wanted to be in a year or 5 years. They were thinking about that moment, and that's why they're where they are. And so a lot of times I'll say, what's your plan? Where do you want to be in a year? Where do you want to be in 5 years? Having something out in front of you that keeps you going. And right, I asked the guy that specific question last night, and that's probably why it's fresh in my mind. He said, "I want to be on a mountain, living in a log cabin with a bonfire and a six-pack and whatever, you know, all by myself. I'm gonna find, oh boy, where do I go with that? You know, huh? Yeah. Do you really want that? You know, is that the thing you should be pursuing? But you know, a lot of types, guys, you know, they want their family restored, they want to have a good job, they want to have their land. And say, so, are you, what you're doing today? I mean, obviously they're serving time, but I don't mean it like that. But you know, are you doing things now that are going to get you there? You gotta keep things out in front of you that you're reaching for, because Solomon said it this way in Proverbs: where there is no vision, the people perish. George Barna defines vision. I couldn't find the book somewhere. Maybe it got given away or whatever. I don't know. But he had a book that I read years ago called The Power of Vision. And it was something like this. Vision is a dream given to us by God of a preferable future. And I don't, that's not the exact words, but I know it had that term, preferable future. It was something given to us by God. So whatever. But that was the gist of it. And where there is no vision, the people perish. So it's important to have long-term goals and short-range goals. And all. I mean, you know, it boils right down to, and you may not be this way, and you don't have to. Everybody does it differently. I'm a person of lists. How many other people are people of lists, right? I've got my I got daily, you know, lists of these six things are the six things I want to get done today, or I want to make progress on. Maybe not going to get them done. So whether it's something as silly, or not silly, but something as short-term as that, or whether it's talking about years down the road, you've got to have things that are moving you in a definite direction. Because otherwise, life will just blow you this way, and it will blow you this way, and you're kind of like a ship without a rudder if you don't have something that you're aiming for. And even when you do have something that you're aiming for, you're still going to get blown this way, and you're going to get blown that way, but you're always going to be able to get back on course because there's something that you're aiming for in your life. There's something that you're shooting for. So just a bit about that, goals and vision. And here's the final thing. This is the final thing. Keeping the foundations strong. Most of what I've shared with you this morning has been about stretching yourself and moving forward and taking on new things and having goals and all that stuff that I just went through. But one of the important things about spiritual growth, spiritual health, and keeping your edge is just having a strong foundation. Now, this isn't the real exciting thing, you know, this isn't the wow sort of stuff or whatever, you know, this is just the basics. These are the things that you fall back on, and they've got to stay strong in your life. There's always a balance when it comes to these kind of things between stretching ourselves and going outside of our comfort zone and trying new things, and at the same time, maintaining a strong foundation in your life. It's the strong foundation in your life that gives you the ability to launch into new areas, to go to new places. You've got to have that. That strong spiritual foundation gives you the stability you need to take the next step. Without that foundation, you don't have the platform to go higher. It's so, so important. If you want to see how high you can jump, you don't do it when you're standing in a foot of mud. You don't do it when you're standing on shifting sand. The best way you can jump as high as you can possibly jump is when you're jumping from a solid platform, a solid, stable platform. And that's another really important part of keeping our edge. Back to the basics. You know, the things, and I have scriptures for all these, but I'll just run through them quickly. Being faithful in the Word of God. That's something that just has to be a part of our life. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Being a person in prayer, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Living a lifestyle of repentance, Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Just seeking purity in your life. It says in Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is, interesting, greed, which is idolatry. Walking in forgiveness, for as your heavenly Father, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. And then, of course, Jesus said to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I was just thinking? You know, what are some of the basics? What are some of the foundational things that have to stay strong in our life if we're going to go to those new places and keep our edge and stay spiritually fit and spiritually strong? The stronger the foundation is that we have in our lives as it pertains to those basics in the Christian life, the better position we're going to be in to take new territory, to go to new places, to stretch ourselves and to do new things. I wish it was easier, right? I do. I think probably we all do. But keeping our edge requires effort and expending energy. We don't live in a universe, like I said, where, you know, bolts get tight. Well, actually, I guess if they rust, they do. But you know what I'm saying. Things wind down. Things come loose. Things break. That's just the nature of that law of entropy. It's at work, and it's at work in our lives, and we've got to infuse energy into our spiritual lives to combat that. Would you please stand with me? And I would just ask you to think about your own life and to think about if there are things that have been, that you have been neglectful of your life. I am sure if there's something that you've been neglectful about, whether it's prayer or any of those, you know, these things that I've just put up here on the screen, or maybe you just are so adverse to the idea of getting out of your comfort zone that you're just not growing anymore, and you just want to be comfortable and you don't want stress and the anxiety or whatever that might come from going to a new place. I just encourage you, church, we have got to stay on the edge of what God has for us. I believe, and I know sometimes I get a little frustrated, you know, where people say, God is about to, God is about to, God is about to do this, God, you know, sometimes I think, God, it's us that are, you know, we're the ones that are holding them back, you know, it's not like, you know, God's getting ready for something, like he needs to do all this preparation. The preparation's in us for God to be able to do what he wants to do. We're the only ones that are holding that up. So I just pray that we would be diligent. The Bible says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. I just pray that if there's any area of neglect in your life, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart about it, that you would allow him to bring about a change. And oftentimes, the way that you go about that is through repentance. It's through acknowledging that you've let things slip in your life. You've gone from tolerance to indifference to passive acceptance to active participation in some areas of your life. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction to all of us where we need it this morning, so that we can get our edge back and continue to grow in the Lord. Be spiritually fit. Be spiritually healthy. Father, help us as your people just to keep the foundation strong, to stretch ourselves, to have the goals, the visions that you give us, to keep them before us, Lord God, to be in close, accountable, Christ-like relationships with others, where we can be a mirror to others and let them be a mirror into our lives, so that we can not deceive ourselves into allowing things in our lives that shouldn't be there. God, I just pray. I just, my heart, my passion, the thing that just was so stirring in me and often is just wanting the church to be healthy, wanting people to be healthy in their walk with you. And these are some of the things I believe that are part of that. So I just pray you would help us to follow through on the things even that you're speaking to our heart this morning about this very thing. I pray that even this day and tomorrow and going into this week, that we would make changes, that we would, there would be that infusion of energy into an area where we have been neglectful in our spiritual life. Help us grow, help us to be strong so that we can make an impact for your kingdom in Jesus' name.